at the moon. Don't know who or what I am. In your arms a while.
Sadgurunath Maharaj Ki Jai. May the Guru be pleased in all ways, always, with this Swami service. Welcome to Meditative Living. Namaste and blessings. Om Namo Narayana. May your richness and joy increase. Welcome to the show. This Swami is a representative and Swami within the system of Mahadeva Mahayoga and welcomes you with great love and great respect from the heart of all. This Swami serves the man who in 2007 became the very first white-skinned, American-born human being invited into the rank of the 80 Mahamandaleshwars, His Holiness Mahamandaleshwar Paramahamsa Swarupananda Vishwaguru Maharaj of Los Angeles, California. And today, we continue our work with the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganeshpuri, India. For those of you viewing the type1radio.com site, whether live or in the archives, along with this broadcast, you'll see a photo of Nityananda with the one who became the guru of this Swami's guru, Swami Baba Muktananda, sitting at his feet. And this Swami most comfortably and most joyously sits at the feet of his guru. For those familiar with Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganeshpuri, he was what is referred to as an avadut. An avadut is not the least bit concerned with societal norms, the outer world. They are completely focused inward, sometimes expressive, sometimes quite silent. And Nityananda was more along the silent line most of the time. But on occasion, when he was deeply in a transcendent state, he would speak and give these teachings, these understandings, these directions about the yogic process that every human moves through on the way to full and stable enlightenment and ultimate liberation. Today, we move on from verse 266, as recorded by Nityananda's disciple, Tulsi Amma, who spent about 7 years writing down what Nityananda would say. And this collection became the book now known as the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda. Verse 266, Nityananda said, "O mind, enter the house of Ananda. When the whole area is flooded, we cannot distinguish the wells and the tanks in that area. Because there is darkness, we must infer there is light. When you taste sweet things, remember there are pungent things to be swallowed as well. What is the state of Jiva when Jiva has realized that the Atman is not the body? Such souls have attained their pristine condition. I and mine are not visible to the physical eyes. I and mine are not to be found above the tip of the nose. That which is above these has neither beginning nor ending. A visible object has a beginning and an ending. Since Atma is invisible to the physical eye, Atma is without beginning or ending. It is impossible to lessen the power of Atman because Atman is always constant. Just as space is homogeneous everywhere, so is the Atman the same everywhere. The head of man or woman is the abode of light of millions of suns. Which is bigger, the eye or the sun? If the eye is spoiled, is it possible to see the sun? So the eye is more important. The form of gold images is the creation of the mind. When a man is photographed, the picture is according to the posture of the sitter. The virtues and the opposites in the photographer are not seen in the picture. The commentary. O mind, merge into the eternal bliss of Shiva. That's Shivananda. Just as when an area is flooded, you cannot find the separate streams, the wells, the water tanks. In the same way, flood your being with Shiva consciousness so that you can no longer see any difference between yourself, the other objects in this world, and God. Shiva has two aspects, the transcendental and the immanent. If you are only conscious of this world appearance as a mere world, then you have to remember that pain always follows pleasure, and pleasure always follows pain. If your knowledge is limited to the mundane activities of this world appearance, you will be hopelessly bound by this pair of opposites, pleasure and pain. Once you realize God, all duality ceases and you realize you are not the body, and there is only unity in this entire world. Freedom is seeing only the one Shiva Shakti, where others see difference and diversity. This freedom is the absolute. It has no beginning and it has no end. What is visible in this world appearance is transient. It takes birth and dies. But the Atman neither takes birth nor dies. It is eternal and infinite. Shiva's power cannot be lessened, for it is the power behind every power you experience in this world. Shiva is constant. Just as space is one and the same everywhere, Shiva is the same everywhere. His nature is completely unchanged, even though he takes the form of all the objects of this world. In the Sahasrara, the crown chakra, is the light of millions of suns. But without the ability to see those suns, to experience them in the crown, without this ability, these suns don't even exist for you. So which is more important, those suns or your ability to see and experience them? This is why the siddhas say, practice, practice, practice. Everything can be experienced in this world is just an illusion created by the mind. When a photographer takes a picture, you see in the picture what the photographer wants you to see, not what is really there. In the same way, the impure mind, the impure ego and intellect show you the taint of your craving and desire, not your true nature. This is why they must be purified in the fire of yoga, in the fire of your spiritual practice. Verse 267. Nityananda said, the fruit is according to the internal faith of a human. Good and evil are not of the Atman. Atman, like the reflection of an object, takes that form which the mind causes it to take. The jiva is like a bird in a cage. When the nest is spoiled, the bird is not affected. The bird flies away. The bird may build a new nest and enter it in 6 months, in a year, or in 5 minutes. That depends on the bird's efforts. From this place to the railway station, you can go in 24 minutes or in a month. The commentary. Your inner state is your fate. Your direct experience of God, along with the degree to which you have that experience, will be determined first by your faith. Shiva Shakti, the Atman, is above good and evil. Good and evil are notions that exist only in Shiva's Maya, only in this illusion of a world appearance. This is so because the Shakti of Shiva, like the reflection of an object, takes whatever form your mind perceives. This is his play of divine consciousness. The individual bound soul, the jiva, is like a bird in a cage. If a nest gets spoiled, the bird is not affected. It will simply fly away and make another nest somewhere else. In the same way, the jiva does not die when the body has rotted. It simply drops the body and takes another form after death. depending on your karmas, you can be reborn in several minutes or several months. In this way, you continue to wander about in the cycle of birth and death until you are liberated. Stepping away from the text for a moment, let's discuss liberation, mukti, freedom, the ultimate, absolute, the supreme, which is the entire goal of existence as an individuated unit of consciousness, is to remember, recognize, and yoga, become in union with that from which you came. And you return to that. And the direct, conscious recognition of that, with a capital T, through the appropriate sadhana or practice, under the guidance of one who has already accomplished this task. And that's just the way it works. And there are many, many people with many, many different opinions on what enlightenment is, how it is, how one should act and think while in that state, while prior to that state, and even once into the state of full liberation. Liberation can occur in two different ways. There is videha mukti, or liberation at the point of the physical death of the body. Or there is jiva mukti, while you are the jiva, the embodied, individuated unit of consciousness, still moving around, still using the bathroom, still eating, still drinking, still interacting with other humans, seeing all the sights and hearing all the sounds of the world. But you have become free. And you see things quite differently. So it doesn't mean that the world goes away, but its effects largely are no longer of great concern. You are capable, much like your physical eyes can see anything, but the eyes themselves cannot see themselves. And they can see anything without being actually affected. And it's like that when you have achieved release, remembrance, recognition of your original state. Verse 268, Nityananda said, sadhana or practice is necessary for vairagya, or desirelessness, to be steady. For vairagya to be permanent, we must have practice. Vairagya is not related to the body. When the mind is unwavering in all the external and internal causes and effects, then one sees the Atman. When the idea of jnana and ajnana, knowledge and ignorance, is absent, then one sees the Atman. When one knows, but he is not aware that he knows, then one sees the Atman. Men and women who have realized the Atman are much like blind ones. They're like deaf ones. Although they hear, they do, but they are unaware of what they do. When the senses are acting, they are disunited with them. So their action becomes inaction to them. In them, the idea of creation is less, and the idea of unity is more. Since their power of forgetfulness is so great, their actions are inactions. their attention is concentrated not on the coconut shell, but on the kernel, on the Atman, not on the body. They are beyond both sin and merit. They are like a boat in water. Just as water and boat are quite distinct, they feel the gross and the subtle to be separate. They are indifferent to bodily functions, but concentrated in jnana, in pure knowledge. They drink the juice of the sugar cane and throw away the outer skin. When sugar is manufactured, it does not become the cane again. When by practice one has realized that he is Atman, the idea that he is the body never returns. Like an old vessel, after the necessary repairs, shining with the luster of the new buddhi, the highest intellect, when the vasanas are annihilated, the waves of thought, one can be transformed into the pure sattva quality, the pure truth quality. Then we have contentment. The commentary. Dispassion or non-attachment, the Sanskrit word being vairagya, to objects, people, places, things, is necessary on the spiritual path. To go across, to become liberated, your vairagya has to become steady. For this to happen, you have to do sadhana, spiritual practice, after shakpat, under the guidance of a perfected one. This dispassion has nothing to do with the body. It dawns when your mind becomes completely absorbed in God, remains that way, even as you experience internal and external movement in the cause and effects of this world appearance. When the mind dissolves, there are no concepts or ideas. Therefore, the notions of jnana and agyana, wisdom, and ignorance are also absent in the highest state of Shiva consciousness. When these are absent, you experience only the pure scintillating spanda or pulsation of the absolute Shiva. Then your state is one of knowing all without being impressed by the fact that you know. Pain and pleasure become the same to you, and you become immune to compliments and insults. You become immune to happiness and sorrow, and you remain completely detached from the activity even of your own senses. You commit actions only as necessary and with no expectation of the result, which you know is controlled by God and belongs to God. When you are able to live in this manner, what is known as the creation or this universe, this multiverse, pales in comparison to the experience of your own inner state. You realize that this world appearance is like a sea in a mirror. And the only reality is the one Shiva who masquerades as the objects of sense that are really reflected only in your mind. In a siddha, a perfected being, the experience of memory is weakened. One who is liberated begins each day as a brand new adventure without perpetuating the things of the past. His or her constant state of samadhi or absorption ensures memory is purged on a constant basis. This is what is meant by forgetfulness. A liberated being is no longer attached to the body, having burned this attachment completely, along with the seed of this attachment. A siddha never becomes attached to the body again. When you acquire this state, your intellect becomes so pure that you merge your individual identity into the universal, into Shiva. And you are then dwelling in this world without being of this world. To attain this constant state of Shivaham, the vasanas, the latent impressions, the thoughts must be destroyed. Once they are destroyed, you become the pure perceiving awareness, aware of awareness itself, the supreme I consciousness of God. Then you will be eternally content. So let's go ahead and run the break song, and we'll be back with verse 269 on meditative living. Welcome back to Meditative Living with your host, Swami Shivanandagiri, broadcasting live from the ashram on the river in the 100-acre woods in East Central Illinois, United States of America. May Bhagwan Nityananda be pleased with this Swami's interpretations and reading of his words. The Swami is most happy to be in a position to share this highest of knowledge with you today. Thank you so much for allowing this Swami to be of service. Verse 269. Nityananda said, unless the intellect is purified, contentment does not spring. Unless the intellect is purified, citta does not become steady. Unless citta is purified, a man or woman cannot free themselves from verbal delusion. When ice is placed in water, after a short time, both become one. Similarly, a human who has realized the Atman merges in the Atman. Just as the rivers enter the sea, all vasanas are merged in Atman. Atman is not a thing. Karma is a thing. The steamer is in the sea. To the one looking on, it appears to touch the seawater, but the steamer is quite different from the seawater. There is no relation between the two. So must a man be in the affairs of this world. He must not have any attachment to world things. Just as Brahmins wait eagerly for plantain leaves to be spread and meals served, so must a man wait for the mental purification and mukti. The commentary. Your individual intellect must be purified in your own sadhana, your own practice, in order to experience pure contentment. Without this steady experience of contentment, your mind cannot become quiet. If your mind is not quiet, you become a slave to the delusion brought about by Shakti, the power of sound inherent in language. This Matrika Shakti is the sound of language. When the mind is bounced about by constant thoughts and notions, words have complete power over you and you are easily swayed by them. Ice, when placed in water, dissolves and becomes that very same water. In the same way, when you realize your true nature as Shiva, you merge with Shiva. Just as a ship can travel in the sea without losing its properties as a ship, so too spanda, or the creative pulsation, travels through this world appearance, becoming all the various forms, but without losing her essential nature as the divine feminine consciousness. One who has realized God knows this from experience and behaves the same way as this spanda when engaging in worldly affairs. A yogi must not become attached to worldly things, even when he finds himself in situations where he experiences and enjoys them. To acquire this state, you have to be eager to do sadhana, the practice, under the direct guidance of a master who has already achieved it. And you have to want liberation. This Swami would add here, one of the most difficult aspects for the student, for the developing yogi, for the devotee, for the disciple, is the absolute requirement of surrender. Now, let us put the word surrender in its proper context when used in this way. It does not mean that you are enslaved. No. What you are doing is you are surrendering to the highest consciousness. Much like the ice cube surrenders its form as ice and becomes one with the water. This is what we seek to do. This is the yoga. This is the union of the individuated unit of consciousness with the source of all names and forms, anywhere, anytime, in any situations. That is the surrender we're talking about. You are not put down, you are lifted up through this. It is lack of surrender which causes us to continue in suffering, to continue with behaviors that are not in our best interest or in the best interest of others. If one can attain vairagya, or dispassion, or non-attachment and non-aversion, then you can be in the world, but not of it. You can observe everything that occurs through the physical senses, through the psychic senses, in any realm, any dimension, any world, and be absolutely unaffected at the deepest level. Now, this is not to say that you can't ever feel frustration, anger, disappointment, any of those things. No, you will. And that's entirely appropriate in the human context. But the difference becomes that you will have that experience in the moment where it is appropriate, and then it is forgotten. So the power of memory does not reinstitute that feeling again. You have it, it goes, you're done. So people need to understand that even the most enlightened, fully liberated human will still have a very human personality, will have likes, dislikes, preferences, of course, according to their individuated nature. But they are sitting in the deep end of the pool. It's like sitting on the bottom of the ocean. And you look up and you can see that the waves are playing. You do not care in the least how they play. You only know that they play. And there is movement, but that is so shallow compared to where you are. You are deep. And it has no lasting effect at all. It's only the play of the waves in the ocean that you are, and play they must due to the natural conditions. So you become a unified, integrated whole, no longer subject to the duality perceptions. Although participating with them in some ways, you are no longer overwhelmed by them. And you attain contentment. Of course, you would prefer not to be hit by a car. But if you are, well, then you understand that this is a karmic thing playing out, which it must. You did not bring it about, and you could not have stopped it It occurred as it needed to occur, and you just accept and surrender to whatever is occurring. But this, again, this surrender is not a disregard for your personal feelings. It is the very safety that allows one to be the observer of all the causes and effects that are in play on the stage of this play of consciousness. And you find that you're just an actor playing a role, but you're not that. You are that, but you are not. You are both at the same time. And it is a joyous state to live in. Back to the text. Verse 270. Nityananda said, "No one wants to look at a fruitless tree. Why is man called man? Because he has manas, M-A-N-A-S, thinking power. He is called man. Manas should get knowledge of various sorts, and being united with peace must become one with Omkar. He who desires mukti, or freedom, should at once give up the idea, I am just the body. Such people alone can realize the Atman. Those who think, I am just this body, it is very, very difficult to see the Atman as it is. Those who hold fast to the idea, I and mine, may practice for 1,000 years, yet they will not attain even the slightest fraction of Shanti. If one bathes in a river, the body becomes clean, whether he be a pariah or a Brahmin or a child. Likewise, the internal state of a human is the same, though the exterior of every man and woman may appear to be different. Chilies, watermelons, etc., may grow in the same field, but they have differences. The nature of the one is different from that of the other. The heat of fire is only felt by those who sit near the fire, but never by those who are sitting in water. Peace is cool like water. Before you are hungry, the food must be prepared. So also, before you become a householder, you must know the duty of a householder. A householder should have his exterior and interior equally pure. He should distinguish clearly between cause and effect. The commentary. Just as no one values a barren tree, you should not place value on the body alone. It is barren, like a fruitless tree. A human being is called such and valued as such due to the existence of the energy known as the mind. It is due to thinking power that human beings are recognized as such. For this reason, you should seek to know the very nature and substance of the source, the Shakti of Shiva. This is Omkar. If you want eternal peace, eternal Shanti, if you want true happiness, if you want to be liberated from the bondage of ignorance, you have to completely surrender this notion that you are only the body. Only then can you realize God. If you continue to believe that you are only the body, and if you continue to engage the notions of difference and the notions of I and mine, you will never have peace. All, regardless of social status, race, or behavior, become clean when they wash in water, and all bathe in the same substance called water. In the same way, all are purified when they turn their attention to God alone. Although appearing to be different on the outside, by way of looks, skin color, language, behavior, all are that one God. And all must go to the same place inside to realize this fact directly and consciously. Different crops will grow in the same field of dirt. Although being different in their qualities, these crops owe their existence to that very same field of soil. If you remain absorbed in the peace of the inner self, with a big S, you cannot be burned by the fire of illusion that is this world appearance, even though you may walk through that fire. Before you can eat, you have to prepare the food. In the same way, before you can merge with God, you must do sadhana. Know your place in this life. Know your dharma, your duty. Assume the role dictated by your karma, by your past superimposition upon the present, and play that role gleefully while remaining absorbed in the truth. Verse 271. Nityananda said, "A man may run after a horse in vain for any length of time. Let him ride the horse. Let him bind the legs of a horse and get on its back quickly. So also, worldly men and women must keep their mind free from attachment to sense objects. Just as water slips off from an umbrella of leaves, so also one must be free from the idea, I am the doer. A householder must be like a calf offered to a temple. All should be offered to the Brahman. But one cannot say that a man who does like this is nearer God, and a man who does not like this is far away from him. If you keep a light before 1,000 people, it reaches all without making any distinction whatsoever. Anyone may take it. Where there is light, there can be no darkness. In the darkness, there is no light. There can only be one thing, either light or darkness, not the two at the same time. One's nature should be like the sun. One's chitta must be cool like the moon." But you can't ride a horse by riding. In order to ride a horse, you have to subdue the horse, bind it with reins, and ride it from on top. In the same way, you can't subdue the mind by chasing after sense pleasures and worldly objects. In order to bring the mind under your control, you have to free it from the expectations of sense pleasures and worldly pleasures. In this way, allow the results of your actions to slide off you like water rolls off an umbrella. Don't allow your ego to claim the results of your actions. In this way, the yogi must become free of the notion, I am the doer. One who maintains a career, a home, and a family should offer all these to God, just as a calf is offered in a sacrifice. Take responsibility for your life and the role you play, remembering you are a tool of God and that your life belongs to the giver of all life. In this way, remain in this world, loving it as your very own self. Do not criticize or condemn those who do not have the same outlook. Do not condemn those or judge those who you perceive not to have your same experience of the divine. The divine exists in those people also, and to the same degree that it exists in you. The light of divine consciousness is always shining, and anyone can embrace that light regardless of their past action. The light of God does not coexist with ignorance. There is either ignorance or the light of divine knowledge. Where this light shines, ignorance is dissolved. Purify your nature and align it with this light, while keeping your mind absorbed in the cool moon center of the Sahasrar, the crown chakra. Allow this Swami to step away from the text for a moment and describe a particular experience. When one has attained the rise of Kundalini into the crown, it is possible that you may get this effect like you are riding on the top of your own head. If you conceptualize a large robot being operated by a man with controls in the top of its head, you feel very much like that. This body is a vehicle, is the robot. But you, what you are, is in control from that point. And your reference, your perception comes from that point. Even though all the physical senses continue reporting in the usual manner, you are above that, and you perceive from above that. Through it, in the case of the physical world, the Maya, the illusion. Now, not that it's not true or that it's not real, only that it's temporary and constantly changing. So therefore, it is an illusion within the inherent divine ultimate unity. It's a play of shadows and lights and goods and bads and ups and downs and characters and animals and plants and molecules, all within the divine play of consciousness itself, which you only can see while you are bound by ignorance of the fact that you are all of it, not just a part of it, not just above it. You are all of it in every shape, form, name, even all of it, all the time. Now, of course, your body is not everywhere all the time. No, that cannot be. Although unusual siddhis or powers, such as locating the physical body in more than one place at a time. This is doable. This is useful at times. But it's none of these siddhis are to be showed off, to be demonstrated for entertainment or manipulation of others. That is absolutely wrong and will bring about a bad result from those choices. If the cities just bloom through you like a flower, just because it was the right thing to happen at that time, in that place, with those people, or by yourself, whatever, that's fine. You were not prefacing the appearance of this quote-unquote power by thought, by desire, by attachment to some result from the demonstration of this. If it comes quite naturally and then it goes, well, that's perfectly fine. No problem at all. The divine has utilized your vehicle to bring about something within the world for whatever reason. Best not to even be bothered about whys. It happens, it happens. Okay. Because when it starts, it will surely end. And then something else comes. And then something else comes. And then something else comes. You know, I mean, it's this constant change and fluctuation and all of that from that lower perspective. Sonic, let's wrap for today. Next week, we will pick up with verse 272 of the Chittakasha Gita, Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. Blessings to you. May your richness and joy increase. Namaste.